Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to the After School Dawah podcast. For today, our topic of discussion, we're going to be talking about weddings. Weddings. Not so I wanted to ask you guys, innit? You know, and maybe we'll talk a bit about marriage, who knows? But, you know, I just, you know, maybe it's because, you know, I've been to a wedding recently and... Yeah, I'm lying, man. Why am I lying? I've not been to a wedding recently, actually. I thought I had. I don't know why. Maybe, no, you know what? I mistook it for Eid because it's very similar to me sometimes. Yeah. But no, basically, someone asked me, and it was in Raw Talk. I think we had discussions about weddings, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, people were talking about, like, yeah, they're going to have their wedding over here. They're going to have it over here. Not gonna have it in Nawab's. No one wanted to have it in Nawab's for some reason. I'm not gonna have it there anyway, but no offense, Ard.
What, you want a wedding in Nawab's?
No, his sister had one. But yeah, so, you know, we had discussions about it, and, you know, when it came to me, they asked me about, like, okay, what is your plans for your wedding and stuff like that? Yeah, it seems fine. And I said, like, yo, I really don't care. Like, if I had the option of not going to my own wedding, I probably would. I probably wouldn't. Because to me, it genuinely just seems a bit boring. At least the weddings I've been to, it just seems a bit boring anyway. It seems more like... And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, by the way.
Yeah.
It seems more like... more like a thing where you entertain the guests rather than yourselves. Because,
yeah.
Like, usually whenever I go to a wedding, I'll see the husband, the groom, and the bride... They're kind of like very stiff and full already there, you know, and like, you know, people want to take pictures with them and they want to feed them, and like Bengali weddings is a tradition to feed in it, you know. And it's like there's a lot of traditional tasks that you have to do as a bride and groom. So I said I'm not ready to it's not really something I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to after marriage.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking forward to, like, finally getting that certificate of marriage and then, you know, inshallah, like, having a very fruitful and, you know, like, having a companion in my life, and like that, you know, you hear about it, and like, you know, when you get married, the other person is going to be that person that's going to be the closest person to you. I remember one of my friends, I asked him, like, what is the benefit of getting married, especially considering how much of a struggle it is nowadays? And he said, listen, because I said, like, you know, companionship, etc., you can get it from your friends. You know what he said? He said, your friends are going to be with you 24/7. And it's true. You know, at the end of the day, so do you live in Chido, for example? Tahmid, you live alongside, innit? It's not that far. But, you know, we don't... At the end of the day, we don't live together, and we all have our individual lives. When you get married, you share a life. It's different, and you share a life, you share a family, you know, and everything gets connected. And usually, you live together as well, innit? You know, if you don't, that's a bit deep. But you know, usually, you do live together, innit? Uh-huh. So, you know, it is a person that you have the opportunity to be very close with, and then someone who is. You know, an important thing that people don't really talk about is someone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, as long as you did things the right way, he puts barakah in that relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he puts love and mercy between husband and wife, innit? You know, and that's something special. So there is something special in it. And it might not be something that you can, maybe me and you, us guys, and we may not be able to understand now, but maybe when we get married, we do. That's the part of marriage I like, innit? But yeah, the actual wedding though, it's like, yeah, it's boring. And then obviously then there's the flip side. There's people that have weddings. Sorry for going on too long over here. But there's people that have weddings and it's so haram, bro. Like, it's so haram. It doesn't make sense. But even like traditional or cultural weddings, like Pakistani weddings, I don't know about Bengali weddings.
Yeah.
There would be like, they say like, yeah, you know, in Pakistani culture, there's a dance routine.
Yeah.
And then this and that. I'm like, fam, like, imagine, like, spending, like, 22 years, 23 years, 25 years trying to keep it halal, trying to abstain yourself from getting into haram relationships and etc., controlling yourself, etc. And then you're doing all of that for what? For Allah's sake, right? And then when it comes to that 1-2 days, you're just, like, the the one being that you would want to please the most, you know how people, like, when you get married, you want the blessings of the father, this and that. The whose blessings do you want the most when you get married? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. Like, that's the whole purpose of marriage, right? That's the whole point of it.
Just a point of what you said before, when, you know, they spend, like, people spend 20 plus years, 25 years, you know, abstaining from things. And then on their wedding day, it kind of goes all out the window. It's kind of like the same concept of fasting all Ramadan, and then on Eid, you're just kind of losing it all, innit? And I think people just see it as a massive celebration, so it kind of gets to their heads, or they kind of lose, you know, just want to go all out. And, you know, so they won't really be too strict on things, which is obviously not right, but that's probably the reasoning behind it, innit? I think it's a big event. They're probably be like, you know what, just go all out, just blend everything, do everything. And that's sadly what a lot of like cultures promote as well. Like, big weddings are a must. Like, even like, since young, we're told to save up for our marriage, or when we start working, your parents probably tell you, start saving up for your marriage, innit? We're gonna have a big wedding and big this, big that, and it's not entirely the best thing to do, because at the end of the day, you know you see people you don't know, and you go there, you're like, who's this person? I haven't met them before. And then a lot of the day is just full of let's say it takes a lot of blessing out of the day, or out of the marriage itself. I mean, as far as I know, I don't know if you agree with that or not. But weddings themselves, they can be hit or miss. Like, I've been to weddings that are good, and I've noticed that it's the ones where, let's say, only where you're close to the family. Or, you know, if there's a more personal connection with the people getting married, if you're like a second cousin or a distant cousin or something, there's not really much to do. You just sit there, eat and go. You'd say hi to someone you haven't met in 5 years and then dip. Yeah. But if there's like a personal connection to the close, you know, you're close with the family. Like, the one I went to probably like 2 years ago, we were quite close with them. And so then it was quite fun, you know, because, you know, you get treated, not treated better, but, you know, you get more things to do. And after the wedding, there's stuff to do as well and before. So in that sense, it's not too bad. But a general wedding, it can be quite boring for most people, because you're just not as close with the people, because at the end of the day, they're going to see their entire bloodline and their friends and workers and everything. So, you know, they're not really going to have much time to give.
You kind of just go in and eat in it. And before, basically, like, going on to Saad, this reminded me, and I'm so sorry, my friend, when I said I didn't go to a wedding recently, I just remember I went to my friend's wedding, like, only like, what, like 2 months ago. His wedding was actually really, I really enjoyed that, you know. And I didn't enjoy that because, oh, this is my friend's wedding, by the way. It is because, like, let's say, for example, right, I remember a couple of years back in it, you know, I had a friend that invited me to his wedding, right? But I knew that I wasn't going to know anyone else there other than him, and he's the groom.
That's not obviously next month. I'm going to be like that next month.
Yeah. Obviously, the problem with that is that the groom is going to be busy during the wedding. He's not going to be there, chilling with you. Yeah. So you're kind of going to be sat there with all the people that are in his family network or something, and you're kind of going to be sat there at the table, like,
it's a bit awkward.
So Uncle Basket the Lamb, and then, like, whilst waiting for the food for 3 hours, you're just going to be on your phone, your Tahmid, bro. Tahmid and the mother, yo, bro, I'm so bored, right? You know? But the wedding I went to recently, right? It was one of my friends from university, right? And he actually invited not just me, but he invited quite a few of us guys in it, you know, from university. And I knew these guys in it. Obviously, it wasn't like it was guy, and it was very refreshing because they weren't people that I met for like a good 2-3 years or something, you know. So it was really nice seeing them again, but these were people I was friends with, right? So it was really nice seeing them and catching up with them, and I was actually able to, you know, kind of sit on a table with them, and it was enjoyable. I was talking to them the entire time in it and whatnot, and it was that was calm. And obviously my friend who was the one getting married, he came by, like, you know, here and there, be like, yo, how you doing? I was so happy you came, etc. When we took pictures, and outside of pictures in that moment, me and him didn't really talk, innit? And obviously we didn't, because he's there, like, catering to everyone, innit? You know, and as a groom, there are things that you do. And another big thing, right, that was really good about this wedding, and mashallah, is because him and his bride, and I don't know their families too much, but him and his bride, mashallah, they're very religious people, innit? Mm. So they kept the wedding very, very nice, yeah. Right? Their wedding was in the same building that our mosque was in as well. There was a mosque downstairs, innit? And their mosque was big, bro. You know, Shafron, bro. Mm. If you talk about Shafron's floor, yeah, you know, the big floor upstairs, it was bigger than that floor. And this was inside that building, right? No, so it was a big, like, mosque just downstairs. So, you know, it wasn't like, oh, you had to kind of worry about prayer. Now, yeah, you go downstairs, a full of mosque there, bro. And it was like, alhamdulillah, innit? You know, and it was segregated, bro. It was segregated. You know, the women were in one room, the men were in another room. It wasn't like, yo, there's mixing going on. And then, you know, in terms of music, I don't think there was music. I don't think there was music. And yeah, but everyone had a good time. Anyways, going back to the topic, your Saad weddings are lit. You get what I mean?
Let's hear it from Saad.
Yeah, man. I think
you get close.
I think, well, first for start, I don't go to a lot of weddings by choice, to be fair. I'm mostly just forced. Like the last wedding I went to, actually, it wasn't a wedding. Sorry, it was a it was an aqiqah, right? I only went because yani my mum, she didn't have any going to go with my dad's currently abroad. And she just took me along. And similar with most weddings, to be fair, is I only go because I'm forced to be tagged along. But to be fair, I'll say,
It's quite sad, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Talk a bit louder.
Louder, yeah. Just like, I think what the issue is that, like, I'll start with, like, most of the weddings I've been to, I'd say, like, 90% of the weddings I've been to, they've been fairly simple, alhamdulillah. They've not had too much. And that maybe that's because of, you know, who my dad keeps friends with, you know, who my mom keeps friends with. They're not, like, extravagant people. They're not, you know, people that are, spendthrifts, basically, right? And those, they've been fairly peaceful, alhamdulillah. I mean, the most I've had is a bit of music, you know, piano music, that type of thing. Last wedding I went to was a close family friend's. And you want this?
Yeah,
okay, sorry. Close family friends. And he...
one thing I want to say, which is quite interesting from what you said, the family friends that you have, in terms of wealth, are they rich, poor?
Yes, they're well off, bro. Well, like a significant amount of them are well off, and that's because, you know, my dad's a doctor, of course, alhamdulillah.
Yeah,
so the friends he's gonna have
are, and yet they do have these sort of,
and they have very simple kind of, I mean, this is what I was gonna get onto, is that even though they're rich, the most I've ever seen, like the last wedding I went to, the guys, the groom's friends and the dad and stuff, they had like a little dance outside, like before, so it was a walima, right? And so it was the walima or barat, I don't know if you guys have barat in Bangla culture. Basically, in Pakistani culture, there's like three events, right? There's the barat, which is the kind of party from the boys' side, right? It's their reception, basically. It's the boys' reception. So the boys' side will do this. The walima is obviously... the barat is from the girl's side, if I remember correctly. Walima is from the guy's side, And then
We have it, but I don't think we call it that. We call it something else.
But basically... Mehndi is different. Mehndi for us is like a girls get together, basically. Boys aren't really invited to the Mehndi, generally.
So our boys invited to the Burak.
No,
we have a Burak type of thing.
Boys only.
No. Is the girls' family.
Family, yeah.
They organize it. Boys' family, they organize which is the one in
Mehndi. Walima, yeah.
We had it in Bangladesh, not here though.
Yeah. Yeah, they have it here quite often. Mm. But here they won't call it. Sometimes people call it Burak, they call it reception though. They say reception or whatever, right? And so that's quite common. So I don't know which event it was at the Walima Barat, but it was just the guys just, you know, having a bit of a laugh, dancing, this, that. And the music was like piano music. And I was at the Walima too, actually, as well. And it was similar. That's as far as it goes, generally. That's what I've experienced. And you know what, bro? I'll say this much, yeah. The couples that, because often my mum, what they like to do, my mum and dad, right? Especially if they're close to us, they'll invite the couple over to come to the to our house, right, and have dinner. Yeah, basically a little dinner or whatever. This is like usually a couple of weeks after, like maybe 2-3 weeks after. They just let them settle in first. Obviously, they're gonna have close family that they're gonna want to get in contact with. But this couple came over, right, afterwards, and I'm telling you, every couple that's come over to our house, they've always, and I've spoken to them very briefly, and it's, how is it going, this, that, but from the way they talk and the way they act with each other, that you can see, because obviously it's segregated. Women sit with women, men sit with men. But from how they speak and how, you know, my dad will ask him, like, oh, how has it been for you? And whatever, right?
The couple.
The couple, yeah. The couple, yeah. Or the guy specifically, because obviously I sit with the guys. Yeah. And so it's always been the way they talk is always like, alhamdulillah, everything's going well. The ones that I've had generally peaceful weddings, when we've spoken to them afterwards, they've been very happy overall. Like, obviously, you have your ups and downs, but they've been very happy overall. And obviously, that comes from the barakah thing Muhammad was saying. But I also think it comes from the fact that, one, like also what you said, it's more personal, right? Where if it's quiet, you can actually have a conversation. You know, if it's if there's not too much, because what I find in weddings, right, often there's too much in the day. The wedding starts at like 12 o'clock. Remember that the groom and the bride have to get ready before the wedding, yeah, which is often why they're late as well. So let's say the wedding starts at 2 o'clock, Walima, right? They're gonna be start to get ready from like 10 a.m. Because I've been part of weddings. Obviously, my sister, my brother, both been married, and my cousin, my very close cousin, who's the same age as me, basically, he's been married, right? And other weddings I've been to where I've been part of like the actual like thingy. Yeah, like they're getting ready like 4 or 5 hours before. So your day is already very long. Add on top of that, bro, one thing I hate so flipping much is the drums. The drums annoy me so much. I don't know if you had the drums.
I've heard them.
Bro, the drums are so, you can hear them for like 2 hours.
I remember seeing, you know, Inheritance Center, I remember seeing a sign like no drums allowed.
Thank God they put that there.
That's what I'm going to do, my wedding,
it's
bro.
So, I'm going to come with earplugs, I swear to God. Yeah. It's so loud, bro. I get headaches.
I've never heard these drums before.
They're like procession drums, innit?
Oh, I don't remember, at least.
They're very loud drums, very, very loud. They're massive, like, and the guys that were there, they wear a whole turban and a whole outfit. And these drums are literally like half the size of the table or something, you know what I mean? When the bride and groom are walking into the venue, I think around that time, they'll play it, and it's just so loud. It gives me an absolute headache. I can't be asked standing near them. But like that, and you just add like on top of, and you're just going to get frustrated, bro. Like as a groom, I swear you're going to get frustrated because you're going to have more and more things that you're, unless you somehow are like a sadist and you enjoy these type of things. But like you know what I mean? It's gonna get, especially for you, because you're trying to enjoy an intimate moment with your wife to be, or wife already after in the car, right? And she's trying to, you know, obviously she has her own family to take care of, and you have your own friends and this that, and you add on a dance on top of that, you add this on top of that, you add the drums on top of that, you add a whole wedding cake up. Bro, that same video that we saw, do you see how big the wedding cake was, bro? It was, I swear, it was like 6 foot.
They had a massive
it was tall, bro. It was so lanky. And I'm like, bro, like, you just, to me, when you add, like, I get if you add things for the sake of, like, the overall experience, right? Like, if you want everyone to enjoy it. For example, let's say you have, like, one wedding I went to, one of my close friends. Obviously, some of his family members couldn't come. They were abroad, I think. So we had where he's like a projector, right? And he had all the nice comments, basically, that was saying, oh, congratulations on the projector and a picture of the family. Right? And that's like, okay, something that's acceptable. You're not adding too much effort on. Mm. It's something that's, you know, could be there. And nice. Something else he had was a very nice touch. He had a rota of every family that came to the, and every like group of people that came to the wedding. And he took a picture with every single one. So the person on the mic, the host on the mic of the venue, would be like, so next we've got family, Dr., you know, Mahmoud's family or whatever. Or we've got this. And then, Dr., this family, doctor, or whatever. Yeah. So then he'd take a picture and he'd have a picture with you. So that's like, okay, something acceptable. Maybe this, if there's a lot of families, or maybe again. But it's just like, you know, maybe 20 families, 30 families.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, you know, that's something acceptable. So adding something on for the overall experience. But then you add like so much on that just ruins your day. Because you remember, you're starting 9, 10 a.m. and you're not going to go to sleep before 2 a.m. I swear to God. Because like I said, I've been at these weddings. After the wedding finishes, bro, that's when the whole flipping party starts. Forget the wedding itself. Wedding itself is usually people coming up to meet you, shake your hand, this, that. Bro, I my brother's wedding, and you know, I'm like, flipping God. Bro, sorry, I'm going on for... So we were sitting on the sofas, isn't it? And obviously my brother is... So we got my cousins or whatever, right? And then my brother... And then obviously we're receiving the male guests on the male side, right? And so every time they come, right, stand up. Assalamu alaikum, right, sit down. Assalamu alaikum.
So exhausting.
He's up, down. It's like a military training exercise or something. It's mad, honestly. But yeah, I think what you... And sorry, just finish off the point you were making about the Muslims, like, you know, they're unwilling to give up their religion, but yet we are so willing to give up religion just for the sake of fitting in societal expectations and stuff. Bro, forget about the Muslims that I mean, not forget about the book. Let's put aside the Muslims that are currently not giving up their deen. Look at the Prophet alayhi salam, man. Why the heck are you here in the first place, basically? Why are you Muslim right now in the first place? It's because the Prophet and the Sahaba alayhi salam, radiallahu anhum, made enough of an effort, right, to not compromise with what they knew to be the haq, the truth, and spread it all across the world to the point where there's 1.8 billion Muslims now, yet barely any of them, actually 0% of them, have seen the Prophet alayhi salam. Yet they believe in the Prophet alayhi salam, they believe in Allah, they believe in what was sent down to the Prophet and all the other articles of faith, right? They believe in this to enough of an extent where they can call themselves a Muslim properly, generally. Okay, that might be debatable. But anyway, for the most part, they can call themselves Muslim. And yet basically the Prophet going to Taif, getting his old sandals bloody, to the point where his blood is so, there's so much blood that his feet are sticking to his sandals, right? Getting thrown stones at, bro. Like, come on. He's standing all night in prayer. He's putting all this humility in just for you to be like, I don't want to have a beard because Mark from CEO of KPMG or whatever is going to look down on me. Or he's going to be like, oh, I don't want to be called Muhammad. I'm going to call myself Matthew. You know, you have the...
No way.
Yeah, bro, you have Muslims. Wallahi, you have Muslims that actually change their name actively because they're like, I'm not going to get a job at this big... Who cares about the big flipping company? Get a job at a small company. Take a pay cut. I'm not... Not everyone's in this situation to be, you know, as privileged as we are, alhamdulillah. With me being IT, you being in a... Generally, we're in a country that doesn't discriminate too much and we can get a job generally. So there are people that have valid excuses, but to go as far as changing your name or your whole identity... And remember, putting Islam first. Islam doesn't come across. It doesn't. What's the quote? Islam or the hadith? Islam prevails upon. Islam prevails, is not prevailed upon. As in, you don't impose something on Islam. Islam imposes something on other things. That always comes first. That's always number flipping one. So it's just shocking to me because these Muslims that are doing this, may Allah guide them and may Allah guide us as well. I doubt they've read the seerah, and I've not read the seerah in its entirety either. But just reading a tiny bit of it, bro, just going through that pain.
You don't the prophet, need to. You really don't need to.
So I'm going, sorry.
Like, even like we mentioned, you know, the Muslims, the Uyghur Muslims, I doubt all of them read the seerah, did this and that. And, you know, one thing you mentioned about, okay, people's circumstances might be a bit different, not as privileged. I don't, there is no one in the UK, right? If we're talking about UK, I don't think there is anyone in the UK who has an excuse. Because at the end of the day, what is the worst of the worst you can be in the UK? Okay, if you're not addicted to drugs, let's say, if you're not addicted to drugs, the worst position you can be in would be having a job on living the national living wage. That is minimum wage. Yeah. So you'll be on £9.18 an hour, or just higher depending on your age or whatnot. £9.30 an hour. On top of that, government will probably give you council housing. If not, right, there are other Muslims you can bunk with, rent house. So you're not going to be homeless, basically, right? There is no excuse you can make, because at the end of the day, all that you're saying is that, look, yeah, I follow Deen, everything is fine, but my career takes priority, takes precedence. Isn't that, say that word right? Yeah. That's all you're saying. I remember, like, in class today, right, we kind of spoke about worship, right? So, you know, you have, like, let's say your love for your parents. Is love for your parents, does that mean you worship them? No. Worship means, who do you have the most love for? Who do you have the most fear for? Who do you have the most respect for? Who do you obey the most? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala claimed all these things for himself, and he had every right to do it, and he has the power to do that, right? So when you submit to Allah, what are you really saying? You are saying that he is the Almighty and he is above all else. And show that in your actions, isn't it? Obviously, does this mean that, hey, you have to be this perfect Muslim, you're never going to commit sins? You know, going back to the marriage situation, right? I remember when talking to someone about marriage, right? About the whole, like, you know, Pakistani culture of marriage, right? You know, they were kind of like, yeah, like, you know, again, they're Muslims, they're practicing Muslims, they pray 5 times a day, right? But when I questioned them on it, and I was like, yo, but this isn't a part of the deen, they're like, oh, yeah, it isn't a part of the deen, but, like, you know, kind of have to do it, you know. And it's like, you're literally all you're telling me is that you're picking over your dean. That's all you're telling me, right? And it's like, you know, people have this mindset that, okay, yeah, you know, you're never going to be a perfect Muslim. That means you can pick and choose. Yeah. That's not how it works. Yeah. You can't plan sin. You can't plan. You can't be like, yo, you know what? Because what are you doing with a wedding? You're planning it. Mm-hmm. You can't say that, oh, yeah, I committed a sin in the moment. That's not an in-the-moment thing when it took you 6 months to plan, you know? Unfortunately, like, let's say someone has an addiction to pornography. Khair, bro. That person in the moment, you know, in that 30 seconds, minute, whatever, they made a mistake. Khair, bro. But then if they're, like, in the beginning of the day, they're like, you know what, at 9:30 p.m., I'm going to watch this, and then afterwards I'm going to ask for... That's not how it works, man. That's not how it works, you know. And people need to realize that you can't cheat Allah, you know, and you can't pick and choose, you know. Khair, you will make mistakes. That is what Muslims do. We make mistakes and we ask Allah for forgiveness. But that doesn't mean you can plan your mistakes. You know, it's the same as, you know, like you hear the term premeditated murder. Isn't the penalty much harsher when you plan it compared to those people that do it out of impulse? Like, even society sees it like that. You know, so then, you know, what's the logic behind that, innit? You know, and it's sad. And it's like, it reminds me of another thing that was in the class as well. Do you remember what the teacher spoke about in regards to the, was it the fitrah of every human being? They have three in terms of instincts. Survival.
Three basic instincts.
Survival.
Survival. Species, sorry, survival, species, and sanctity.
It's about sanctity, but sanctity is a word.
It's basically, what's the word, man? Basically, yeah, it's derived of sanctity or sanctuary, you know. Sanctuary. You know how a sanctuary is? It's basically like worshipping.
Basically, there was this Oxford study, right? And the study determined that, you know, obviously you can have a look, just search up Oxford study, do people naturally think God exists, in it? And the study concluded that it is a natural predisposition for people to believe in God. Obviously, in class, it was a little bit different. Class, it was talking more about, you know, a more general understanding of human beings is that they have three natural instincts, right? One is survival, like Tahmid said, right? The second is species. Species was reproduction and etc. And the third was worship. The desire to worship something, right? And before you think, okay, that doesn't make sense. Think about it. Any person you know, every single person is worshipping something. People are worshipping celebrities. People are worshipping, obviously, you got people worshipping idols and stuff, but if you're talking about modern day, themselves. People are worshipping themselves. Money. People are worshipping money. People are worshipping the careers like this, innit? Yeah. You know, you can't say, like, imagine you say that I worship Allah, but, you know, if my career asks me to do this, I'll do it. Who are you worshipping, right? People worship the ancestors, people worship the government, you know, people worship
Illuminati,
etc. And you know, and everyone worships something, you know, and it's a natural thing, is a natural, like, innate sort of would you call that a feeling or desire that people have is to worship something, to instinct. Worship something. You know, or an instinct, you know. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put this in this for the only reason so that we can find Him and so that we can recognize Him as Allah, as God.
It made me example of that in that the teacher mentioned.
I was going to mention that. Yeah, I was going to mention that one.
You mentioned the best example that we have, he said he was an intellectual giant, that's what he said, was the Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam. And if you think about it, his dad was an idol maker and he'd make idols that they worship. And everyone would worship idols in his community. But when he saw that, he questioned it. He's like, I'm not worshipping these idols, no way. So then that was his natural inclination. There's nothing, you know, pushing him to do that. He questioned it himself, innit? And then from that, he started to look for Allah. So then one night he saw the stars and he said, this is my Lord. Then he saw the stars set or disappear. So he's like, if that was my Lord, they wouldn't disappear. So then he scratched that idea. So then he saw the moon, which was bigger, had more majesty than the stars. He's like, okay, that's my Lord. And then the moon set when it became day. He's like, okay, you know what? That can't be because it's set. It's gone. It disappeared. Then he saw the sun, which was even greater. He said, that's my Lord. But then the sun set as well. So through this natural curiosity, because nothing externally in his environment or anything else pushed him to question that it was him himself. And then through that, he found Allah. And it's in the Quran. I forgot which surah it was.
Just
but
about that story, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Just about that story. I think, Allahumma, you have to double check this, but I think the scholars say that wasn't actually Ibrahim. Like, it was Ibrahim saying it, but it wasn't in that context. Mm. As in that he was trying to find who Allah is. Rather, what I've heard, Allahu Alam, you have to confirm again, is that he was with a group of people, or a village, or some just a group of people, and he was trying to show them how the worshipping of objects doesn't make sense, basically. So he was saying, as a metaphorical type thing, he was saying, not metaphorical, but like an example, analogy, he was like, oh, this could be my Lord, this might be my Lord, as in showing them, like showing them, you know, like you're next to me, and I'm like, hey, yeah, maybe this is God. Nah, it's set. Like that, okay. Basically. So it wasn't actually him, because there's another ayah in the Quran, I think.
I remember.
Yeah, because there's another ayah in the Quran, I think, that says he wasn't one of the mushrikeen. Ibrahim wasn't one of the mushrikeen. So to kind of, I think, correlate them, is that he was showing someone else that this was... But wallahu alam, I'm not entirely sure. You'd have to look it up.
Interesting,
Good. One thing that was interesting about that, though, was you know, when I first heard the story, and I guess it would apply to both versions of it. When I first heard the story, one thing that didn't make sense to me, and it makes sense to me now, right, is the fact that, okay, you had this story about Ibrahim alayhisalam trying to say, okay, the sky, was this the stars you mentioned or something? The stars, they go by the time it's daytime, the sun is sets by the time it's nighttime, etc. Because of these reasons, they can't be God. And I was like, okay, but why? Like, how do you know that God's characteristics are in contradiction with any of those things? Like, even the idea of God being almighty, how do you know that that is a reality? Why does God need to be almighty? You know, okay, like, the most basic definition is God created everything. If God created everything, where did you get all these other understandings of God from? The fact is, when we're born, we have a natural disposition to understanding what God is. We know. It's almost like, you know, being, we are the creation of the creator. Mm. It's almost like, you know, God left his, left within us, you could say an imprint in it. Mm. I don't want to say imprint because then people kind of go into the idea of,
mechanism.
Yeah, like a homing device, you know, almost, isn't it? You know, to recognize who is your creator. You know, maybe like, let's say if there's a phone, the phone, you know, you look. In the phone, like if you go on the info, which are like, oh yeah, it was created by Apple.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if you look at our brains, like software, like go on this PC. It's like, created by Allah, innit? You know? But because we have that, we naturally come to these ideas of, you know, okay, God needs to be this and that.
Yeah.
We naturally do. And it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say to that topic?
Well, I'd rather we move on to, you know.
I wanted to kind of go back to the marriage thing, right? So, for me, and I'll start with myself and then give it on to you guys. So, for me, when it comes to marriage, like I said this, right, that I'm not really all that big. I don't really care too much about weddings in itself. You know, it just sounds like it's just something that needs to do.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, because someone there, you know, if you were to ask me, okay, well, what is your ideal wedding then? And I'll say, like, listen, for me, like, realistically, when I get married or when I'm going to get married, one thing that I want to make sure is, well, two things I want to make sure. One, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with it. Two,
yeah,
that it doesn't break my bank. I do not want the wedding to make me broke.
Yeah.
Like, if the wedding makes me broke, then that's just going to be a problem the rest of my life for the next 5-6 years or whatnot. Yeah. I don't want that to happen, innit? So as long as the budget is fine, you know, it's not extravagant. Mm. And this is also in line with pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, maybe doing it and I said in an event that you know, they were asking where you're gonna do your wedding and stuff, and where you thinking of. I'm like, I'm probably gonna do it at the Marquee at Heritage Center, and it sounds lit, you know. Yeah. It's a nice venue, it's a nice venue, isn't
it? It's when you cost, bro. The cheapest I saw as an overall package, I think, wallahu alam, and this was a while back now, so inflation might have increased its prices, wallahu alam. Was Eastern Pearl near Longside, of course, and I think that was like $3,000 for everything. So it was like catering.
I thought you were talking about Heritage Center, bro.
But Heritage. The thing is, when I looked into other ones, they were selling things separately. The reason why I was looking into just generally because I was curious, seriously, because I saw a lot of like people having my friend in it, who is living here by himself, right? Or he was living by himself before he got married, and he's like, he's on a student visa basically. He was like a postgraduate kind of work visa or whatever, or like a study visa. And his family's all in India, and he's here, but he had his walima, I think, in Nawabs, the top floor of Nawabs. I'm like, bro, how the heck did he afford this? So basically, I tried looking into it. I don't know how he afforded it, by the way. May Allah bless him, but somehow he afforded what I think was like £900, £950, almost $1,000, just for the venue itself. And then catering was separate, decorations were separate, other stuff like separate, basically, right? I don't know if you pay parking or whatever, but like, it's expensive, is my thing. Like, I was under the impression before that, like, $1,000-$2,000, you can easily
listen. I have
$3,000.
I have personal contacts with the caterer. My uncle's a caterer, so he saw me out. You get what I mean?
Woody, yeah.
You know, if you want sorting out. Maybe, who knows, give a message, innit?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, promises, innit? But it's something, yeah, I know that, innit? Catering, innit?
Family discount.
A bit sorted, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they make some banging food, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
You know, so let me know, you know, when you guys wanna get married.
I've already got a caterer, you know? Bro, on my sleeve, don't worry.
Yeah.
I've got basically my dad's got a contact.
So I found the caterer before he found the wife. Mad. Mashallah, bro.
It's because this guy does catering at all of our like events in it, like house parties or kickers or whatever. He has,
does he give you a discount?
I think I'm not entirely sure. My dad usually sorts out the money, but he has really good food. Anyone's come over, it's a kind of traditional Asian food, like kebabs, rice. And, but like anytime anyone's come, the last thing we had was a kind of house party for like the local mosque people kind of type thing, and everyone said the food, like literally everyone I talked to, like food bank. We've had that before. It's like food bank. Like, and then if anyone wants to go to his restaurant, GM Hill, Bury Old Road, or Bury New Road, wherever it's called, I forget. Bury New Road, I think it's on there. Called Lahori Kebabish. Lahori Kebabish. Go there. Yeah, your name. Go there. Ask for Javed. Yeah. He'll know. I know Dr. Mahmoud's family, or whatever. Yeah.
Yes, so, I'll give you a 2%
discount. Minus 20% discount, and that's minus the other way, not plus 20%.
You know what? You know that Saad Mahmoud guy. He owes me a bit of money, so you pay for that. You know.
Sorry, go on.
So for me, and it's like, okay, as long as those things are set, I know most likely it will be that my mom and my bride to be, they'll probably be the ones I will care most about what their wedding is and stuff like that. And so, I literally, for me, I'll probably just leave it to them.
Yeah,
I leave it to them, let them sort it all out. And I would not really put my hand in it. As long as they don't make me do some weird stuff.
Yeah,
you know, for me, the only things that I'll care about is okay.
They're gonna want to embarrass you, bro. I'm telling you. Like, every woman has a natural like disposition to embarrass them. I'm telling you, bro.
Yeah, for me, as long as I my boys are coming.
Yeah.
And as long as me and my, I'd probably coordinate an outfit with
do you guys have this?
Yeah, sure. They can sort whatever they want for the wedding, innit? You know, food-wise, I'm not even asked about food, man. They do that, innit? As long as me, I can sort out the outfit for the boys, innit?
Oh,
make sure it's coordinated,
right? Coordinated outfit.
You know, as long as I can sort out the, would you, what's the Islamic version of a bachelor's party, bro?
I'm pretty sure that's like fine.
Halal bachelor's program. Yeah. Well, no, what's the name for it? Obviously, like as long as you don't have anything wrong going on.
I don't think there is a name for it. I don't know of one.
Yeah, as long as you know, you can sort out the things for the boys. I'll do that but the rest of the wedding, yeah, you guys do what you want.
Bro, we're gonna, No, sorry.
As a photographer, you saw the pictures as well, didn't it? By the way,
pictures at your own wedding.
We're gonna have our own. Inshallah, we'll have some employees by then, innit? But by the way, guys, me and Tahmid and let's pretend Saad as well. We have a company called Lightmint, right? It is a media production company where we do event filming. We do.
They use my
photography,
cameras.
Photography and video editing. So technically, Saad's in it. You know, you can say in it. You know, so yeah, we will be doing weddings and we will be doing events and stuff like that. So you know, hit us up. Only halal weddings, of course. Only halal weddings, of course. You know, so if your wedding's got belly dancers and stuff, you know, help someone else in it. You get what I mean? But yeah, help Tahmid on the side, innit?
I'll join the belly dancer myself.
Time to be like, pay extra for the amount you're gonna pay, take me to Jahannam for, and like, subhanAllah al-Azim, bro. But
as I was saying, like, one of my friends, he did with his family and friends, like a bachelor's party, like you said, but with his boys, and they did like a family event at first at their house, and they had like a water fight and everything, and they like got the guy and they soaked him and everything, you know, basically targeting the groom, innit? Not obviously in good fun, innit? And I think they're going to Europe for a week, like all of them, and just gonna, you know, just do everything over there. And it's pretty sick because the guy took 2 weeks off work just for this, so it's gonna be mad. So I think they're spending a week at home and then a week abroad. So it's pretty sick. I think that's one of the things I look forward to as well, about like a wedding. Yeah, definitely. It's like,
see, that's what sounds fun, bro.
Last moment. That's of your what life sounds outside fun, of prison.
Outside of prison.
Imagine you spend like 10 grand or something, you know what I mean? Like 20 grand or whatever on 10 grand, to be fair, 10 grand is cheap for a lot of people, man. I'm not gonna lie. Some people spend like 50 grand on weddings. But if you spend,
by the
like,
way, most people take loans out for it. So
yeah, bro, that's insane. I can't imagine that, man, honestly. Like if you spend, if
no
you
no one has 10 grand lying in their account, just remember that. Like really.
Yeah, true. Realistically, yeah. But imagine you spend that like large amount of money. Like you can't do stuff like that then. Really, because you spend all the money on like hiring like a massive venue that you really don't need, like being extravagant basically, or like hiring belly dancers, or like hiring a massive cake, like a 7 foot tall cake, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just that like, you can't do stuff like that, man. It's gonna limit you. And I've heard, I don't know how true this is, but I can expect it's probably true. Is that a lot of newly married couples are in debt when they start off or something like that. I don't know, Muslims specifically, but like a lot of newly married couples generally. And I can see it being a reality with a Muslim, with how the, well, not Muslims, but like Asian weddings go. It's very messy. Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, wait, just going off that.
Yeah, go on.
So what would you want your wedding to be like?
Mine? I'd probably have it similar to how my cousin had it actually a couple of years back. I think he got married 2 years back. Yeah, like start of 2020 ish.
I didn't finish mine, bro.
Oh, go on. Sorry. No, apologies. Go on.
I'm also gonna have an elephant at my wedding, bro.
You're gonna have what?
An elephant, bro.
An elephant.
Listen.
We'll have to go to Thailand for that.
These
wedding,
lot right? Can't spend 10 grand on that. I'll spend 20.
You get one of those toy elephants, innit? I told you I have an elephant by winning. I told you.
Listen, by the time I get married, innit, technology is gonna evolve that much, bro. Who knows, innit?
He's gonna have a holographic elephant.
Holographic elephant, bro. Huh?
What are you gonna do with an elephant?
Yo, listen, we were talking about memorable moments, innit?
Yeah.
What's more memorable than that elephant, bro?
Why did that come to your mind? First thing we said, memorable moment. What's an elephant? Could have said anything else.
Okay, nah, I'm just messing, bro. I'm just messing.
I wonder, you know what? Before either to you two get married, I'm going to think of ways to embarrass you. In a proper way.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna have the speeches from your boys, bro. Yeah. It's gonna be
what's funny? The family friend that got married recently, bro. His family gave speeches and so did his boys. But what's funny is that the boys had to pass the speeches like through a verification check through his sister. So his sister approved, like, she like, they sent him to, and then she's like, "Nah, you have to cut this out. You have to cut this. You can't say that, bro. You can't say that." So you might need like a third, neutral third party to like redact certain things that aren't appropriate.
Nah, I'll just say, yo, listen,
Muhammad's the worst person in the world. How dare you marry this man?
Yo, listen, I'd back him. He's a spendthrift. If someone said that, I'd be like, yo, listen, it's a bit too late for him to sort that out. Now, like, what are you gonna do?
She's locked in.
She's locked in, bro. We already did the car yesterday. This ring was inside, bro. You know, this is one of my, you're meant to name, my guy. Nah, I mean, like, for me, you know, I'd assume, like, because obviously the boys that would be giving speeches would be like Tahmid, you,
yeah,
Nasir, Z, like, you know, the close ones, innit?
Yeah.
I doubt any of them would. Like, all of you guys are sensible.
Gonna, yeah,
all gonna. Of you guys
even
know,
if he embarrassed you, we'd see something like...
Like, you know that my parents are going to be there. Yeah, you know that...
Your wife is going to be there, bro. More importantly, your wife is going to be there.
Nah, that's not the boring point, was it? Well, boring point, my parents are going to be there, innit? That's about it, innit? You know, hopefully my wife would be... pretty calm with a lot of things anyway. Yeah.
Signs of divorce right there.
He's like, bring the papers. Yeah. Bring it right now. I'm done with this, man. Yeah.
And then you guys best be ready for my wedding speeches, bro. And then, you know what I mean?
I'm not, like, you know, I'm
sorry. Why did you not bring an elephant, bro? I told you I'm doing it.
You know, this guy's gonna come up to me. He's like, "So, can I borrow your camera for a bit?" You know.
Nah, we'll pull up to Sal's wedding, yeah. Because we're gonna like film it and stuff in it.
Yeah.
I'll be like, by the way, sorry, I'll be there, like, do it, put it on all the stuff. I'll be, by the way, can I borrow your camera for your wedding pictures? I got a client, by the way. Wait, is your client me? Yeah. But like, you know. By the way, you're definitely gonna give us your camera though beforehand, and so we don't have.
I'm not hiring you for jack on my wedding, mate. I'm sorry, you know.
Well, what happened to that whole conversation in the car? You were like, "Inshallah, you know, when I get married, I'm gonna hire you guys."
I said, "Inshallah," and they said, "Yeah." Yeah, I'm joking. No, of course, but I'd give Lightman Studios at Lightman Studios on Instagram.
That being said, do you remember my response?
I said
I hope not. Because basically, by the way, I'm not trying to be harsh or anything, isn't it? Basically, Saad was Saad was like, yo, you know, inshallah, I'll be your first wedding, innit? And I'm like, bro, I hope not. That means we're not gonna have a job for like 6 months at least, in a minimum, bro. I'm like, yo, listen. I hope that's not the case, bro. Not saying I hope we're not gonna do your wedding. I just hope it's not gonna be the first, innit?
Yeah, fair enough. I hope you guys get projects before that, man. Inshallah. Inshallah,
you know, inshallah. Both things, yeah.
Inshallah. My wedding, I'd probably have it, similar to how my cousin had it, which was decent size hall. No music, or like probably, you know, some Ilyas Mal vocals on you or something like that. I don't know. Shout out to Ilyas Mal. Collab with us, question mark. But yeah, it's something simple like that, inshallah, I think.
So do you want to know about my ideal wedding? So it's going to be on Mars, right?
Oh, yeah. Elon Musk, question mark?
Elon Musk, who's that?
Yeah,
no, I'm joking.
You're going to be real to know his ride, man.
I'd probably be with Saad on it. With Saad on my wedding, yeah. No, I want like a decently sized tall. Not something extravagant, but enough to invite a few people. Because I'd want...
How many people do you have, realistically?
I mean, I've not had a chance to count, but that'd be quite a lot. Not, I wouldn't. We'd be quite selective still, obviously.
Like 100 or?
Probably.
Oh,
around.
It's actually a small wedding.
Yeah, true as well. Yeah, it's because when I went the last wedding I went to, which was a while ago. Yeah, we met family that we hadn't really seen in a long time, and I remember as a kid I used to see them quite often, and I really liked hanging out with them, and I liked chilling with them and stuff, and they lived not too far, lived near you, I think. And so we met them after a long time, and now obviously I'm all grown up, and my sisters are all grown up, and even they're all going like, whoa, what's going on? You know, so you're in uni, you finished, and you're working, all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, and we caught up on this really nice convo, and, you know, I remember this, I hope my parents don't watch this, but I went to the bathroom, and one of the guys then, one of the dads, but he's fluent, and, you know, he's quite in touch with the times.
Yeah.
And so I was speaking to him, and I was like, you know what, like, why did we stop talking? You know, why did we separate? he's like, well, you know, family drama, man, you know how it be. And just since then, we just never really spoke anymore. Yeah. I was like, damn, fair enough. Like,
how old was he?
Probably like late 30s. Yeah. He had a son who was like 10. And oh, the son was reading My Hero Academia manga. so I got along with him. But yeah, so then it kind of made me notice, like, yo, it took a wedding for us to reconnect after all these years, just to realize that it wasn't that bad. So after that, I was kind of like, you know, it'd be nice to invite, you know, even distant family, or just people, you know, that, you know, we can get along, or, you know, it'd be nice, it'd be a nice opportunity to have people mix together and get along. Filtering, yeah, for sure, yeah. You will get those that, you know, give you, like, I know, black, no, you know, like, evil eye stuff. Yeah, it's very, very, very likely scenario.
No, but, like, even, you're 100% right about that, but, like, what I've always considered was, like, bro, I have, like, a lot of, like, close family friends that are basically family at this point. But, like, you're, like, you have to have a certain, like, because, like, there's people I want to invite, like, from, like, uni and ISOC and, you know, like, these people, like, I want you guys to be there because, like, they're the best safe in it. And, yeah, I see them, like, fairly regularly. But, like, just realistically considering it, the amount of, like, networks that, alhamdulillah, that, you know, families like I always have, I guess, is that it's just, like, you have to filter. Yeah, I can't invite you, I'm sorry. And you just have to tell about them later. So it is kind of deep. I feel like a lot of people probably regret that, doing that. And you have to, it has to be done, obviously. You can't be spending too much money on a massive venue, like 1,000 people or something. Especially those that are a bit more limited, because they always, like, I remember my friend's wedding, the one from India. I was his tech guy on the day, bro. I set up, like, a remote meeting so his entire family could, like, tune in from India at his nikah.
No way.
Yeah. So it's his family and, you know, his mom and everyone as well watching the meeting. So that was like that was a whole thing. And I you know, alhamdulillah, he's doing very well now, and may Allah bless, you know, him and his wife, of course. But it's when I saw that, I was like, man, this is, you know, like, it, you know, to have your family not there, it's a whole different feeling, subhanAllah. You wouldn't be able to share close intimate moments. You wouldn't be able to, you know, and it's not like I'm like that. Like, I wouldn't say, like, you know, like, I vibe that much with my family. Like, I get on with them, alhamdulillah, but it's not like, you know, like I said before, unlike you and yourself as well, both of you, my siblings are very far apart in age from me, innit? Like, six, seven, eight, nine years. And so, it's harder for me to, like, kind of vibe with them. It's not, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah. But when my parents, like, but having them there, you know what I mean? Like, but I've often imagined in my head, like, I would do a speech myself, but I would never stand up, because as soon as I stand up, my hands start shaking, bro. Like, proper, I get really nervous. So, yeah.
So, my thoughts on the whole, like, filtering, I don't think it would be hard for me.
Mm.
I don't think I'd have an issue with it. For me, firstly...
You wouldn't invite us,
Oh, definitely not, bro, definitely not. That already takes up like 2 spaces, isn't it, you know. Now, for me, you know, the elephant needs enough space. Yeah. But for me, you know, like, firstly, I don't have any family, like, wider family in the UK.
All right.
The most, in terms of wider family I have in the UK, I have, like, this uncle who's married to this auntie who's my dad's sister's, like, I don't know, something like that.
At this point, it's not even family. I don't know.
You get what I mean? You know? Yeah. Okay, I'm not exaggerating. It's like family by marriage and to one of my dad's siblings, in it, basically. Right. But I don't have any, like, actual family, and I doubt any of them would be able to come. Like, realistically, I doubt any of them would be able to come to my wedding. Maybe, potentially, one or two of them might come. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so if they could come, I doubt any. Most of them would, or if any. But if they would come, I'd invite them. Mm. Obviously, my own family would be there. I don't really know the idea of, imagine, like, like, having a wedding without your family. Like, mad. I'd rather wait. Or at least have the nikah and then have the walima, like, at a point where your family can be there.
Mm.
Of course, I'll have my family there, in it, you know. I'll have my close friends there.
Yeah.
That makes sense to have your close friends there. Outside of that, outside of my close friends, other friends, I'm not really going to invite.
Yeah,
I'm not really going to invite other friends. I ain't going to... It's not that deep, bro. It's not that deep. Like, yo, like, firstly, I think one of the big things is, if your wedding is something that is that you show everywhere and everything, then yeah, like your boys will see you on your Instagram. They'll be like, they'll be like, oh, why didn't you invite me? If you kept it relatively low key, obviously still post on your story like, okay, yeah, I got married by the way.
Yeah.
But you know, you're not like freaking just like spamming them with all these pictures, and like, obviously they're gonna feel some sort of way that you didn't
some FOMO,
them,
yeah,
you know. But if you have like one picture on your story or something, and like, oh, by the way, I got married, you know, alhamdulillah, then I don't think people are deeper that much in it. Like, yo, listen, I haven't seen you in like 6 months. Why am I gonna invite you?
Yeah,
no offense, but why am I gonna invite you?
Yeah, true, true.
Like, come on, like,
6 months isn't that long, huh? 6 months isn't even that long.
I mean, like, okay, no, I mean, like, I mean, like, 6 months at a time. Not like, oh, you haven't seen each other in 6 months, oh, and then okay, before right. then, like, you haven't seen
like, you
them.
You don't see each other, like, yeah, okay.
I mean, like, someone you haven't seen in, like, you only see that like, once a year or twice a year or something. I'm like, yeah, we're not that close. I ain't going to invite you. Like, no offense, innit?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, bro, like, realistically, we have a friend in common. He didn't invite us to his wedding.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of us deeped it. I went to his house afterwards, like, maybe a few months after when he got settled in, I went to his house. You know, his wife was there in it. I gave them like a, you know, a little gift or whatnot in it, and had a good chat with them. And that I think that's good enough.
I was thinking of the same friend. He couldn't really invite us because he got married in COVID times.
No, there was a reason why he couldn't invite us. I'm not saying that wasn't.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that we didn't deep it though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there are always reasons, bro.
Yeah.
I think not having enough space because your family is there, not having enough space, that's a reason as well.
Yeah.
Then, you know, well, for people to get mad.
Also, to be fair, we were there virtually as well. So we watched the entire thing. And
did he have a walima?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but we weren't at that. Okay, fair enough.
We were only at the
we
signing.
We were at the
we
nikah,
at
yeah.
the signing, yeah.
So I spoke with Hafiz Rubel the other day, like 2 days ago, who we'll have in the podcast soon, inshallah, one day. And so I asked him a few questions. I always have questions, and when I do, I just go to him first. So we were speaking about divorce.
Yeah.
And obviously, through that, marriage just came up and everything, innit? And so I won't share too much, but there was this couple that I know of. I don't know them personally, but it's like I know a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
And so obviously they have a lot of difficulties. And so essentially a divorce wants to take place. And so I spoke to him and I got some advice from him. Mm-hmm. Got some insights, asked him. And he actually said quite a lot. It was like a half an hour to an hour long convo. I didn't expect that because he called me at 11:30 PM
Oh, man.
And then end up hanging up at like after midnight. I was like, damn. But yo, the stuff he said, mashallah, very wise and very, very good. And the main thing that he said, the main takeaway is that before you get married, before anyone gets married, it's very, very important to be educated on marriage. Because he said a lot of the times, you know, because obviously he's seen a lot of people, they come to him for divorce and they ask him for advice and stuff as well. And actually, I think the day before we called, someone came to him for a divorce, as in asking for advice on their divorce because their marriage was going terrible, like really bad. And so it's kind of like, not coincidence, but fate that I ended up speaking to him about it the day after. And he said, being educated is really important because, and he said, there's a surah in the Quran that is completely dedicated to talaq, and how to be fair. And he says that repetitively in this surah, after it mentions talaq, it's like, but do it fairly and do it justly, because in the situation in Islamic marriage, the man has the power to do talaq, innit? Mm. And it's not something that can be done straight away, but if it's done unjustly, there are repercussions. Mm. And so he's saying it's very important to be educated for both man and wife. Firstly, to know their rights, because, you know, a wife has rights over a husband. Husband has rights over a wife.
Wife has rights?
Yeah, man. Surprisingly. It's not just people in the West.
Definitely. Yeah, man. Definitely.
Like, it's really important to know that. And if you want a marriage that's blessed, you know, by Allah and Islamic, and good in every sense, you have to fulfill each other's rights, innit? Mm. And it's really important to know them and fulfill them, so that even if your marriage is going a bit bad, or going a bit shaky, you're still fulfilling each other's basic rights.
Yeah.
And that's really important because it sets the foundation. And, you know, it sets a solid, like, you know, stone. Because divorce, at the end of the day, is, although permissible, it's the most disliked of the permissible deeds to Allah. You know, it's the most disliked permissible deed. So it should be, It's avoided as much. It's like if there's no other choice at all, then maybe seek divorce.
I've heard of people getting divorced for the dumbest reasons, bro. I heard so there was this one sister in it. She said that she got divorced. She said it with chest as well. Imagine. She said, "I got divorced because I wasn't feeling it anymore." What? Was he abusive? No. Was he giving you attention? Yeah. So what was the problem? I just didn't feel it. Didn't have the feeling it.
SubhanAllah.
Bro, man. I was like, oh, by the way, so did you take like half of his income afterwards? Oh, yeah. I didn't ask that, by the way, I assume so.
I'm going to try one thing, where I find this quote as well. I think it was Imam Ali, if marriage was based on love or something, right? I forgot what it is. I'll try and find the quote.
Try and paraphrase it.
On love. Hang on. Sorry, while I find it, right? It was to do with what you were saying in terms of divorce, like knowing what you're getting into, basically, right? And highly suggest, I mean, I didn't really agree with this idea just a few days ago, but I kind of changed my mind, really. I mean, it's not that I didn't agree with it, but I didn't really like it. Essentially, what it was I went to this, like, thing, right? And they were talking about, like, how like a couple should do premarital counseling, right? As a before they actually get married, like go separately, of course, like don't go together really, but like be there basically at the same location, at the same event basically, and go through the counseling. And so the premarital, like the workshops I've seen, like generally, you know how like most have like fiqh of marriage, like counseling, advice on how to get married, just like these type of things. It is generally quite useful, and I would say be careful where you kind of get your counseling done, because there's some counseling that is like, it's very lovey-dovey. Yeah, it's very, I would say, like, oh, there's one specific thing I saw that was like,
romanticized.
Yeah, romanticized, or it's too like utopian. Yeah, it's very like, if you just like, you know, just talk it out, and I'm like, not always, that doesn't always work. Like, and it's not, to be fair to the, it was a sister leading it, to be fair. She is going to obviously have some sort of bias that comes from like the female compassionate side, right? Where a man is much more kind of generally how it is, man is much more kind of rational, thinks, not rational, but like, factual. You know what I mean? Looks at. I'm trying to pick my words very carefully here.
So I was just trying to not piss off people.
Yeah, right, basically. Basically, they look at kind of things in a more kind of black and white type way, right? It's very technical, yeah. But women is much more compassionate, and that's part of Allah's, you know, design. That women, that's why they make good mothers. That's why men make good fathers, good leaders, etc. This type of thing, in terms of Okay, we don't need to go too much on this, right? But generally,
about to get his castle right now.
But generally, that's how it is, right? And so, this sister, you know, may Allah bless it, she was still very like lovey-dovey, and I'm like, bro, this would never happen. Like, I would, like, she was talking about how she had trouble with her husband, and then they kind of sorted stuff out. And that she went to like a story where like her husband was so annoyed of her, and to be fair, she admitted it was her fault that the why the relationship was going bad was her fault to begin with. But the husband got one story she's saying, her husband got so annoyed with her that he locked himself in like a room or like a bathroom or something, and then she was so like pushy to know why that happened or what was wrong that she literally, like, I think she said, like, she put like a pillow on the floor, and then she lied down and just tried talking to him underneath the door.
She opened the door.
And something like that. And she's like, what's wrong or whatever. Oh, and I'm like, I was just thinking like, oh my God, man. Like, realistically, if my wife did that, I'd be like, bro, please leave me alone. I'm joking.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Are you okay? Did you hit on here?
Oh, right on his foot, man.
It's right on my toes.
Oh, you okay?
Oh, that's going to kill. Sorry, man. You get sins forgiven for that, inshallah. Many, many sins.
Alright, guys, so, Jazakallah.
alright. Jazakallah khair, everyone, for watching. Hope you liked it. Inshallah, we'll cover this topic again in the near future. We're planning to be a lot more consistent now with our uploads, inshallah. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on After School Dawah on Instagram. And keep up with our TikTok page as well. We're going to be posting a lot on all platforms, inshallah, and hopefully be having a lot more fruitful discussions. That being said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Take care. We'll see you in the next one.
Wa alaikum salam.
Oh, sorry, man.